This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me. You're not gonna do nothing, you are not above me. I bet you wish you was me, I know that I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but it's not limited to, Poo Dog Melissa.
Oh, wow. Hello.
How are you today, Poo Dog?
I'm good.
You can't say that.
Oh, yeah, that's not allowed.
Banned word.
Yeah.
Oh, banned.
Banned word.
Banned out of the community.
You're not allowed to say Poo Dog any longer in public spaces.
Boo the poo.
Wow.
This has been
unbelievable.
It's been banned. Unreal. How big of a deal are you?
I was taking up too much of the chat real estate. They were like, we gotta ban this.
Like, poo is not an acceptable word.
Ifro has been banned from the chat for violating chat rules.
A blocked until word poo was found.
Until 2 p.m. yesterday. Wow. This man took one on the chin for you.
Bad beat.
I know.
Literally. Well worth it, though. Mr. Poo Dog did well.
Mr. Poo Dog cooked.
He did cook. We'll talk about that briefly here.
I would like to see the list of banned words.
Me too.
Because if poo is on there.
Is it poo or is it poo dog?
It's got to be poo. It said poo.
It said poo.
It said poo, so you can't say poo.
And you can't mask it within another word.
Well, I guess not. But like, so.
Who's using poo egregiously?
Come on, Poker Girl. We're getting a little soft here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what other words are on there?
I mean, they probably just don't pick it. They probably just.
Crap? Can you not say crap?
They probably just like have a. There's probably just a list of words.
Can you change your name to Crap Dog?
Crap Dog? Sure.
Can you not say gosh darn it?
Crap Dog.
Crap Dog.
God, crap dog
no,
sounds.
Don't you put that on Pipolinski Berkshire when you say crap dog.
Crap
that's
dog.
A good dog.
Well, she's crapped out right now. So
that's a good girl.
She is crapped out.
She's getting so big.
She's always sleeping.
Yeah, it's because she's just
she's growing. She really does sleep a lot.
That makes
nervous.
You tired?
She's going to be like your size.
No. I think so.
Well, you grow
she
in your sleep.
A lot of calories.
Oh, that's why she sleeps a lot?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you're growing, when you're rapidly growing, you just sleep.
That's why I take HGH before bed. I'm not fucking kidding.
You does have it make higher.
You think you're still growing?
Well, no. But your HGH release is at the highest while you're sleeping, and the whole point of taking HGH is to stimulate natural growth. So you take it before bed.
Gotcha.
Now you. The more you know.
Bling.
We need that for this show.
Mm.
We need a blatant ripoff of. Was that NBC? I feel like it was NBC.
No, I don't think it was.
Or was it Reading Rainbow?
No, I think it was. It wasn't. It wasn't.
He's simming. He shorted it out.
I think it was.
Yeah. Because when you said Reading Rainbow, wasn't Reading Rainbow. Well, it wasn't NBC either. It was just a. It was just a commercial, right?
I think it was like maybe it was. Like
I thought it was a commercial on NBC.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe
it seems like
NBC
we can use
thing.
It. No one can remember what it's from.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys
well,
are talking
Well, fucking Biden
about.
Over here isn't remembering right. anything.
Oh, it was from...
Short-circuit.
Just like, does the Mitch God. McConnell, like, space out?
That shouldn't be funny, but he's an awful enough human where I think it's really funny still.
Well, it's amazing because, like, I'm short-circuiting at 42.
Oh, God.
Like, can you imagine...
Who's running this fucking country?
Can you imagine being in your 80s and trying to run the country?
Honestly, like, I really don't know how these guys even pretend to do it. Like, they don't do it, obviously, but yeah. I don't know how they pretend
Their
to do it.
Their handlers are in the back like, fuck, it's happening again. Just give him the shot of adrenaline or something. Right. Give him the epi.
Imagine they just come out with the Pulp Fiction and just like poof, right in the chest. Uh-huh. Get him fired up.
I'll do it.
Stand straight back up. Like, ooh. Man, and this is unsettling. I keep seeing myself on the confidence monitor and I haven't A, shaved in a very long time or B, had lips this chapped in a very long time. And it's quite the
Bruh. Yeah, nobody can see that.
They look normal.
They're dry out there.
Do they?
Yep. Now
yeah. Oh, man. They do
now,
not.
But
they
now it looks like you got fucking herpes on your lip because you said that.
I also cut myself shaving, so that's not helping my cause much either. Yeah. A whole fucking mess here. The best we could do is a scraggly beard to cover it all.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Tyler. He is creative director over at. Okay. A little late on the timing, but let's fucking roll, baby. Oh, man.
Better late
yeah.
than never.
What is this?
That is
Pulp Fiction.
One of the that's greatest Pulp Fiction.
Scenes of all time.
She was stroking out. She overdosed. That was their version of Narcan or Narcon or whatever the fuck back then. I guess it was just adrenaline.
No, it was adrenaline. Yeah,
yeah,
it was adrenaline.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's their version of what we use now is.
I'm not good at. Is it
Narcan? Narcan. Yeah, okay. Reverses
overdose.
An overdose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was adrenaline apparently. Get the heart
now going. Right out of it, you know.
Big shout out to Tyler. He's a avid watcher of the show. He hit me up on Instagram and he said, "Love the show. Love what you're doing. And I see that you have ice shakers." I'm like, fuck yeah, I love ice shakers. I have three of them. You know, per mine and Poo Dog's conversation where I get mold in the lid, so one was not cutting it any longer. I ended up with three, and he goes, I actually work for a creative design for ice shakers, would love to get you a couple custom bottles.
Oh.
And as you can see here,
I literally just, how long have those been up there?
About 5 minutes.
Okay. I just noticed them. I thought they were up there the whole time.
Got two more downstairs. We got the big boy. We got the half gallon downstairs. That one might be a permanent resident like right here. So I'm not really sure yet. And then I got another big Sulfur Y one similar to this Only Friends one. Did a great job. Really appreciate it. Looking out for us. Yeah.
Thanks for my ice shaker, Tyler.
Well, you fucking
relax. Yeah. Which one do you want? Do you want, Conrad, do you want the Only Friends one or do you want the Sulfur Y one? I'll take the other, whatever one you don't want.
Honestly, I haven't seen them yet, so it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. I'll just, that's one.
All right, look, there's a few things that need to be cleared up. Number one, it was my Instagram he contacted. I created this godforsaken show, and I'm going to reap the fucking benefits, okay? Number two, these are gym shakers, Conrad. They are meant for protein and pre-workout, okay?
But did you never hear the phrase, it's better to give than to receive?
I know all about fucking giving tortoise.
Bert, you guys
all exist because of me.
You only exist out here because of me.
What these ice shakers will not have in them is gin on the rocks with a little fucking scoop of creatine, okay?
Listen.
I will not allow this sort of sacrilege for such a great gift. No. Thank you, Tyler.
Bert, what if I put some iron in there?
Iron, yeah. Well, Iron City with the buckos on in the background. Yeah. All right, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I actually was thinking, maybe I'll give one to Tortoise. Maybe he could use this with his P90X
workout.
Tortoise
is in great shape. Sam said that last night. He was like,
I saw him walking up.
Tortoise looks like he's in really good shape.
I was driving up today, and he was walking in the driveway as I was pulling in, and I was like, fucking Tortoise keeping it tight.
Yeah.
And I come in, he goes, did arms today. I go, no, your ass.
He can't stop looking at my ass.
He looks at every, he's like, Landon's got a wagon. Like, he checks
not
out
a good
all,
way.
Checks out all his friends' asses.
I do not mean it as a compliment for Landon. Oh. That thing needs a goddamn license plate attached to it. I don't know how he gets through doors. You know how guys like try to get their lats big enough to where they can't fit through a door?
Yeah.
His hips are going that way. Yeah. Like, bro, you gotta tone it down or give birth. One or the other.
Birthing hips.
This is too much. See, don't ever leave. Yeah. This is what you get. All right, we do have some people cooking, so let's go ahead and get to it.
Oh, I messed up.
And
it was a really good segue.
No, I had two less tortillas.
I appreciate you at least complimenting the segue.
Jumped out with my soul leaking, going hard till I'm so eating. No chatting and no speaking, no dapping with slow breathing. Damn, homie, you the man, homie. They can't do it, but you can, homie. They can't do it, but you can.
What is popping? It's another day. We got some other people cooking this week. First, starting off, we got Poker Face Ass.
Come on, Grappo. Come on, Grappo.
Yeah, I thought we were starting with Sam.
We went over this in pre-production.
You said Sam
first. No, he didn't. No, he definitely said Ash first.
I'll be honest with you. I was just going with the last second. Look, I do have Sam written down first here.
I could have sworn you guys said Sam first.
But I heard the last second pitch.
Of course, Conrad and Grappo are on the wrong page. Thank you, the two gaslighters of all people, to finally have my fucking back.
I got you, Burke. I got you.
All right.
What do you mean? What do you mean the two gaslighters?
Yeah, we never gaslit in our lives.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I've never gaslit.
Right, I'm the gaslighter.
You enjoy being gaslit.
It's fun to gaslight Berkey about getting gaslit.
Yeah, it is.
Back on track.
Anyway,
Mr. Poo Dog. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say that. Sam Lasko, it's get second.
No, we're
still. All right, whatever.
We didn't do Ash yet.
Well, he put up this graphic, so that's why I went with this one.
Okay,
on. My God. Sam Laskowitz gets second in the 10K, I believe.
Let me tell you who's not cooking.
15K.
They chopped heads up. He got 220K for second.
Dope.
And some leaderboard points. And then he hopped right back in the today's 15K.
Nice. Got to be on the grind for that leaderboard.
Yeah.
Also cooking. Poker Face S. She got fourth for 20K at the Run Good Series.
Okay.
Man,
she's crushing these Run Good Series.
Yeah, she really does.
Shout out to Ash, former Academy attendee. We appreciate it.
It seems like every week she has like a, you know,
a five figure score for sure.
Yeah, somewhere in the Midwest. It's a nice place.
God, I need to go.
I need to go.
Yeah.
Also, who's cooking?
Our final chef.
Oh, man. He's the fucking best. Boban!
Well,
he got the people chicken.
Okay, I'm going to explain this after you guys see the clip. It's all going to make sense. Don't worry.
He is a handsome guy.
Good looking dude. Look at this. Look at this. Okay. Now, what you all need to know is that Boban used to be the center for the Clippers. They're playing in Los Angeles, and they run this giveaway where if any opponent misses back-to-back free throws, the entire stadium gets free chicken. So Boban bricked the first free throw, and being up by 8 points late in the fourth quarter, he goes, I got you, fam. Don't worry. I know all about the chicken deal. He bricks left and then just holds the finger up like as if he's the godsend that they've all been waiting for.
I hope they won the game.
I'm pretty sure they won.
Obviously,
they won
the game had to have been pretty much all
four and a half minutes left. They're up by eight.
Four and a half minutes?
That's
a little risky.
That's not
Come on
over.
Now, Boban.
Are you serious?
It's the last game of the season. I don't think it meant anything.
Okay. That's fair.
But what did mean something is that he will forever be remembered in the LA Clipper fans' hearts.
That is right. True.
And when you look like that, it's really
Does
important
have,
to cement
like,
a legacy.
Cauliflower ear?
He has everything.
he has everything.
He looks like George Mirishon's bastard child with China.
Oh no.
Imagine if
a face only a mother could love.
Imagine if the
smells
the,
like
the,
cabbage.
The line was like 8 or something.
Right.
And so and like God. People lost like
I mean there's 4.5 minutes left.
I know. Oh, so
yeah,
now all of a sudden there's yeah. No,
yeah,
but
now
like
there's a lot of
yeah,
game
like that like changes this like somebody's bet by thousands of dollars.
Well, that's sports. I will say I appreciate what you two did. I see it now, Guapo Conrad. I understand. I didn't see it at first, but now it finally it all came together.
This is a racist
there's a punchline.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
a
punchline
racist
coming.
Joke.
Well,
coming.
I mean, it's just
driving.
Abundantly clear. We always end these Who's Cooking on a joke, and though the Boban brick for chicken is perfect, nobody was cooking worse than you two in that segment.
Wow.
Total.
That was what we call racism.
Total grease fire. You know.
That's, I mean, this is what
fucking cooking with grease.
This is what we have on this side.
Yes, you're right. You wrote it down in the wrong order. He executed in the wrong order, and the three of us are fucking sitting here confused.
No, the gaslighters are just gaslighting.
No.
That's the problem.
No.
He said it just now in that order.
Before
he said this order.
It's okay.
That I have written down on this beautiful piece of
honestly, this
piece
is
of thingy.
This is
piece of thingy.
This is the perfect representation of why nothing ever goes well on this podcast.
This
because
is why
I
we
say
can't
things,
plan stuff.
Okay. Right? Like I say stuff, but it just goes out into the ether.
This
like,
shit is crazy.
Bits and pieces are heard here and there.
The
you
only
know?
Thing I want is like. Are mics to be recorded pre-show from now on? That's it.
No,
not,
no I heard
just for
no,
us.
You don't want
just
that.
For us.
You don't want that.
By
just for us.
No, you don't want that.
Think how boring this show would be if like everything ran smoothly all the time.
Yeah, that's
that'd
true.
Be just like it would be boring and dumb that. And not fun.
Speaking of, you guys are going to be you're ready to set up for the Thursday episode after this. Gonna do some test runs. Gonna get this table up and popping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna work some camera angles, graphics. Mm. You're the manager. This is your task.
Wait, it is?
Wait, are we doing it?
I don't know.
I manage self-reliance.
I
not only friends, but
we can get the table up here. It'll only take like An hour.
We don't
hour
need,
and a half.
I love that you think that.
I know. Every time he talked in the chat, I just know Guapo was somewhere off in a dark corner, like laughing hysterically,
I'm
like the
my
Joker.
Wrist. What are you talking about laughing?
No, not laughing as it's funny. Laughing in like irony, where it's just like these idiots think that this stuff is so simple.
Yeah, hang a fucking camera up there, set up some shots, ring the goddamn
be,
table
like,
up
by
here.
Dental floss, like swinging around.
Shit, no, it's not gonna move. Come
First
on.
Of all,
I got duct tape down there.
We don't need any of that to figure out if we can actually pull off the mechanics. We can do all of that without moving the table or anything along those lines. All we need to do is get the little dongle.
The mobile setup?
No. Oh, yeah, we could do that too. But I was just going to say the dongle, as long as we can run the server on your thing, we can see if we can overlay the graphics, in which case.
What they're talking about is setting up a table.
Yeah,
for the 500th episode.
But it might be for the 600th episode.
Yeah,
the
600th episode is way better.
I think we need some lead time here.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
You think
6 months feels
about right? I was
going to
say,
right.
Yeah, 4 months, 4 or 5 months to give us enough time.
That feels about yep. right.
Yeah. You guys are fucking pathetic.
598 will be like, so what do you guys think we should do?
Oh, yeah, let's move the table up. It'll take 5 minutes.
Honestly, this is the plight of having a daily show, too, because... I say every year, this is the third year running, but every February-ish, I'm like, guys, World Series getting close. We should really have a plan of attack for this mm-hmm. series. Yes. Like, mm-hmm. this is our time right. to capitalize on being a daily show during the biggest time. And then May 30th rolls around. It's like, so what are we going to do for the series?
And then people are like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to play. Oh, I'm not going to be in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday.
Landon
yeah.
usually
Maybe
leaves
Friday.
Like for 2 months prior to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Landon's just like off in other country.
He's Matt, not exactly a big part of the planning team.
Is there any That's way you can get me credentials as like media so I can go and like interview people?
You know, Guapo, I absolutely could have yeah. if you had had that idea in February.
Okay.
But it's already
he's
over.
Still can. He's still
you
can.
Still can, right?
I can try to grease some palms. But usually you have to submit by like the 1st
yeah,
of March.
Jack wait, Apple loves you so much right now. Yes,
you know what? Guapo? I'm going to head to the Commerce. I'm going to head to the Commerce at the end of May, and I'm going to see if I can brush elbows with some higher-ups.
Gotcha. Thank you, sir.
I'm sure they would welcome us there with open arms.
Yeah, anybody fucking there is going to answer you. Oh, man.
I might be able to backdoor it, though.
We're going to need some live reporting for the Landon Becker thing.
Yeah, between PokerGo, right, who already has credentials, PokerOrg, which we have some loose affiliate. I think there's a way we could probably back into it.
Okay.
But yeah, we're probably too late to submit for our own media pass.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it.
Which is
everybody
text Jack, man.
Rally.
Text Jack.
I'll text
sorry.
Danielle, and she'll say Jack fucking hates you. And I'll go, well. He should do a better job.
We only promote the series like every day for
right.
multiple
yeah.
weeks.
Who's look?
Jack doesn't hate
we
us.
Are He's not free. Watching this show.
He does sometimes.
Hear a word you said yesterday.
Yes, he did.
We are just the beacon of truth here. We call it like we see it. You know, both sides.
What did you say?
Nothing good. Nothing good. Really screwed the pooch on right. this WSOP circuit thing.
Called okay? it like it is.
But like, you know, when you give an interview and you say, you know, these guys all won ring events to get into the free roll. Obviously, they're not losing players, so they can afford to go to Los Angeles.
Oh.
You can't say that.
Yeah, that's
not. Yeah.
Like, somebody definitely won a $400 buy-in for like $2,600 that was all going into their makeup, and now all of a sudden
yeah,
they have to
like
fly that way.
Satellite players,
yeah,
or...
like, yeah, pretty tone deaf.
Guapa, yes, the sir. Answer is no. Sorry,
all right, no worries.
So no, Guapa's leaving us for poker.
The other answer is who the fuck is going to kick you out? Just go there with a camera and do your thing, man.
True. Well,
the rest of us will all be in the halls too.
Just follow around. What's his name? Masato.
Masato-san.
I'm his cameraman.
He just had a fucking gang of people in fucking on the cruise.
Yeah, his
like
cameraman.
Wait, Masato was on the cruise?
Yeah.
What? No way.
How do you not see five Asian Bro. Men?
He was in a penthouse.
I
all
never
week.
Left. I never left Three Arrows. I was on floor. Yeah, I was okay, literally okay. on floor 15 the entire cruise.
Dude, I
Jim penthouse food.
Yo, I thought they were like a gang. I thought they were like, you know, the way they were running the hallways, it was like five, six of them and him. They were just like, and they, like, the way they walked, Masato's in the front, then you got two right here, one in the back.
Masato's
you
know,
they
best.
Were straight gangsters, bro.
If I had to, like, if I had to start a poker project from scratch tomorrow, and they were like, okay, you can pick one person to be like the main character, the leading role, I think he would be very close to being top of the list.
For he seems what? Like he has like very good energy. Very
doesn't
good.
Matter. Just like whatever poker project it is.
Okay.
Like I'm just thinking like from a versatility standpoint, right? Like obviously if you're starting a high stakes stream, you would maybe want Garrett, or if you're starting like a tour bus across the world, maybe you want Rampage. I don't know. But like if you just get the general rollout of like, okay, somebody needs to be featured in a poker project for the next 365 days, Masato might be my guy. Mm-hmm. He's very personable. He's nice. He's good enough at the game that you care. And he's very good on camera. Like, very happy.
I think I'll take Jungle Man.
It's too much. It's too much. It's just too much. Your hands are full.
Yeah, I think I can handle it.
He sleeps at the table.
Yeah, but that's 70% content, of the time. Maybe?
That is good content. That's, you know, probably was the best.
He wears outfits. Oh, yo, that he was catchphrases. Like, he's good at poker.
That was
like
some of the best GG Game of Gold content there was, him sleeping, honestly. Like, everybody got a kick out of it.
I mean, yes, it's funny the first time.
The second, I will time. Say that.
The second time, it's a little bit less. Big shout out to our sponsor this week, Champions Club. They are bringing the Poker Go Tour to Houston, Texas.
I'll be there.
We actually might all be there.
Oh, really? Oh.
So I spoke with Isaac. He said that we can do the podcast on site. They're already set up. I don't think we would have to bring much in the way of equipment. Maybe nothing, to be quite honest, to lure you, Guapo.
I was going
to
say, Guapo's having a heart attack right now. Like, his fucking God, blood veil is boiling right now. So
if I have to take apart and set this up again.
Can't believe I found out this way.
Exactly. He's like, you told me this on the podcast? He's dying inside right now. But he is fucking dying.
I found out, so I have an engagement May 1st to the 3rd, which the Champions doesn't end until I think the 5th of May. So I was like, oh, I can't go. Yeah, it's May 24th to May 5th. So I was like, oh, I can't go. Like, I'm going to miss everything. April 24th to May 5th. So I was texting with him. I was like, yeah, I can't come. I would like to, though. It seems like a great series. He goes, oh, well, you can just come for the main. I was like, when does the main end? He goes, April 29th. And I'm like, I might be in. I could be in for that. So perhaps there's a chance we find ourselves in Houston. Melissa's for sure going to be there.
I'm a wag. Yeah. Living the wag life.
Wow. Mm. Just
I was
it.
In the studio today. They're like, oh, are you playing? I'm like, no, I'm a wag.
Just here to hang out.
Just hanging out.
For those
they were going to me. They're taking shots of me, like shouting me out, like, oh, she's sweating her man.
Blocking you in the chat.
Yeah.
For those who don't follow sports culture, wag is wife and girlfriend section in the cheering
yeah, it was
area.
Me and Cherish. We were just hanging out on the rail. Mm.
Good company. So if we go, or if we don't go, it won't really matter. The main event will still be starting April 24th. 2 million guarantee. Flights running every day. I think there are 4 flights. A, B, C, D. It might be 4 regular flights and a 5th flight for a turbo, if I'm not mistaken. Oh. they're also running other PGT... I almost said PGT tour events. Poker Go Tour events. So there are a bunch of 5Ks and I believe a couple of 10Ks to round out the schedule. All of these do count for the PGT leaderboard. So a lot of people there are going to be chasing points. This is going to give you the cheapest opportunity to get yourself in the running for the end of year $1 million free roll. Don't get me wrong, that free roll isn't going to be super soft, but it is free money. So that's pretty nice. So yeah, it looks like, oh, wow, they're running way more than that. Flight H. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Eight main event flights.
That's dope.
That's expensive.
So I'm...
All right, I'm back out. I can't play 8. I can't play 8 fucking flights. And if I'm there, I'm going to play 8 flights for sure.
There'll be some big cash games running.
Maybe.
I mean, what do you mean?
Well, there will be if I'm there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm really curious about how their structure looks for this main. Because, like...
Well, I can tell you.
Yeah, because...
What would you like to know?
I want to know when they bag, because if it's after 8, that's such a... Or it's 7, I think it is. After 7, it's annoying.
Okay, so let's see.
Bag day 1.
Players will receive a food voucher, in case you were wondering.
Nice.
$30 food voucher. Let's fucking go. It looks like if you enter on time, you do not pay the full tournament fee, which that's always nice.
Awesome. For a $3,500, that's cool.
That's right. Let's see. That's the wrong structure. Okay, here we go. Main event. We got... So it looks like day one is Wednesday through Sunday. They're running eight structures, as we said. Eight flights, as we said. Sorry. 200 admin fee, 100 to the staff. Prize pool is guaranteed at 2 million. Start with 60,000 in chips. You can register until level 13, which is the 2K, 4K level. So it looks like you can register until 15 big blinds. Day one levels will be 40 minutes with a break every three levels. Day one turbo flights will be 20 minutes with a break every six levels.
I've been there on the turbo flight. Yeah. I can't do a full day.
Yeah, so it's a long day. It looks like day two and the final tables will both be 60 minutes. So is day two... And yeah, it's only a two full day event. So however many people bag and make it to Monday, that's the final day.
So they're in the money probably?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
For sure. Cool. You'll play to the money. Day one flights will play to the money, which is approximately 12% of the field. Day two will introduce the PGT shot clock. Tables are seated nine-handed and switched to eight no later than the close of registration. Day two redraws will occur within 24 players, 16 and 9. And then the final table will be streamed on PokerGo.
What are the levels? 40 minutes?
40 minutes day one, 60 minutes day two.
Nice. I like that structure a lot. Mm-hmm.
It's a really good structure. I have a sneaky suspicion the field might be too big to finish in 2 days.
I mean, it will either run till 7 a.m. My immediate thought was running to 8 a.m. So like it will either run till...
On day one?
Huh?
On day one?
No, on day two. Oh, it might run... No, yeah, it wouldn't run that late on day one. It would run to like 2, 3 in the morning probably.
Wait.
On day two.
Okay, I think it's a three-day event.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Sunday, day one H turbo is at 8 a.m. So my best guess is that probably ends at like 3 p.m.
And then day two begins. Okay, that makes sense.
So day two probably begins mid-afternoon and then the final table on Monday. That makes way more sense. I assume that they're going to be reasonable days. Yeah. All the PGT stuff at the studio usually ends by like 2 a.m. at the latest.
Okay.
So you're usually looking at like a 10 to 12 hour day. All right, I'm back in.
Yeah, that all seems very cool.
I'm back. You know what? There are four turbo flights. Those are the four that I will be playing. I don't need a good day one structure. Yeah. I just need to win my flips.
Yeah, let's just like win some flips, get a big stack for day two in a really short amount of time.
That's right. 4 hours. Get me there.
Yep.
Let's fucking roll, baby.
Like
yeah, I'm excited for this. Have you guys been to Houston before?
Uh-uh. Yeah, I went once.
You were? Yeah.
Never been. Nope.
Ironically, we were at Champions. That was the previous Champions. That's same owners. Previous.
No, I went for something else.
You went to the wrong airport.
No.
Yeah, when I was leaving, I went to the wrong airport.
but you didn't go for something else. We were all there for the Champions 1100.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
I was there as like a sponsored pro or whatever.
That's
but
right.
You were there with, you know.
I remember.
And I think you guys ended up at like some down... Were you at Johnny Chan's club at one point?
Studio 52 or something.
Yeah.
I think it got shut down now.
Well, I think it's new ownership. That was the one where he went ill. He was not solvent.
Oh.
Do you remember this a couple years ago?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So somebody bought him out and I think everything got cleared up. But
yeah, I'll be playing cash there probably.
I'll be checking out all the nice. All the best barbecue pits that Houston has to offer.
I thought you were barbecuing.
In Houston?
We might just have a barbecue off on the fucking set.
Oh, I mean,
it's you versus some local Houstonians.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Man, that'd be really fun.
For us.
We approve of this idea.
Immediately, the guy who comes in and cooks wet meat loses. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't know it.
He put like a drop of sauce, and you're like, absolutely not.
He just thinks he made the best barbecue of his life, and I'm like,
No, Texas, they're not wet meat kind of people.
That's right.
Right? It's salt and pepper on the brisket. You know, they don't fuck with the sauces.
Oh, he'll love that then.
Yeah.
My kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for
this. By
the
way, to add to the Who's Cooking, Sam passed 2 million... in caches, and he's been playing tournaments for less than 2 years.
Wow.
Pretty sick.
Wow.
Very, very good, sir.
Is that that's more than Becker?
That's more than Becker.
Wow. Yeah. You've done it. Congrats. You really made it, kid.
You made it.
You really made it.
We're all proud
We're
of
all
you.
We're all so proud of you. Halfway to my fucking 20-year total. Oh, man, I'm gonna have to get in these streets. Yeah. Dropped the ball yesterday. This one's on me, and I take full blame because I was just never an online guy. But we knew it was tax day. What we forgot was it was the biggest day in maybe poker history since Moneymaker.
Has it always been on tax day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kinda ironic.
April 15th, they dropped the fucking hammer on us.
I just filed my extension on my phone right before this started.
I think like, they. Shit. Yeah. I think they. They did that on purpose.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah, that wasn't a coincidence. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the reasoning for it was, but they definitely were intentional with it.
Yeah.
Do you know where you were on Black Friday?
Yeah, I was at Coachella.
What year was it?
2011. Yeah.
I was in high school.
God.
Doing whippets.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Something like that. Yep. Actually, correct. Yes. I was doing balloons out of a nitrous tank at someone's house.
Yep.
Their backyard.
You guys see Taylor and Travis at Coachella this year?
No.
They were there with Teresa Giudice from the Real Housewives of New Jersey. I mean, man, my worlds were colliding. Why was I not there?
Where the hell did this come? We're talking about Black Friday.
We're talking about Whippets. We're talking about Black Friday. You just come out. Oh, you guys see Travis Kelce?
That's because I was at Coachella when this happened.
Really?
I was there with Brent Hanks, Phil Collins, Brandon Garrity. And yeah, we wake up that morning and it was like, guys.
Oh man, being around Brent at that point would have been great.
I was playing 1-2, I'm pretty sure. And it was like 8 in the morning we found out.
Yep.
Pretty sure, yeah.
I was in New Orleans. I just landed for a bachelor party. My buddy that I played baseball with, who wasn't even a poker player, but just kind of like a poker fan, calls me and he's like, "Did you hear what happened?" I'm like, "No." Like, "It's over. They shut everything down." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Full Tilt, Poker Stars, they shut everything down. The government seized everything." And I was just like, "No, come on. You just don't know what the fuck you're talking about, obviously." Go back to my hotel room, try to log in.
Yep.
See the
FBI warning.
Yeah. God. See the warning. Mm-hmm. My immediate reaction, jubilation. I was like, "Oh my God. It's finally over. We're all going to play live now." I was like, "This is going to be the biggest World Series ever."
Didn't quite work out that way, did it?
Yeah.
It did in the near term, definitely not in the long term. Although I'd say we're fucking back. I mean, we're definitely back right now.
Yeah, we're so back.
Yeah, we're booming right now. Online, not so back. Online never really. It had its brief moment during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because you couldn't leave your house.
And it was really, it was a really unhinged time. Yeah. Like, that might have been one of the darker days for online poker that we just weren't really privy to.
Oh, for sure.
The amount of cheating and stealing.
There was absolutely so much bad shit happening. But we were just like, "Whoa, look how big the fields
are. Literally, all of our content for the last 2 years has just been catching up on all the shit that happened during the pandemic.
Yeah. Also, like, for Bitcoin was, like, booming, I think, at times. So there was so much more liquidity people had.
Yeah.
Well, here we are now. It's booming again, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's down a little bit, but online poker, not so back. If I was buying and selling, I would buy live, sell online.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Short online.
Online's a meme stock.
It's true.
Yeah, it's not great. Unless, it's not looking good.
Unless you're Corgasm.
Well, you know, I'm not saying.
Corgasm cooked. Why didn't we put him in Goose Cook?
He cooked yesterday.
He cooked yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You obviously didn't watch yesterday's episode.
I didn't. I only watched the ones I'm on.
Wow, jerk off.
Liar. Like, from he's in the chat all the time.
From the community, a lot of people recalling where they were. Garrett says, "In the spirit of many others offering up Black Friday stories, 4/15/11 forced me to decide between moving abroad to play high stakes heads up online, play live, or quit. After almost quitting for the 100th time, I chose live poker and moved to LA. It worked out pretty well."
I'd say so.
It'd be interesting to hear a follow-up where he was on his own personal Black Friday part two, which ironically was a Friday.
He was in his mansion. Like,
September 30th, 2022.
Having his shoulders massaged and the cucumbers on his eyes.
No, he was at the Hustler Casino. I just want to know.
Well, it's after. No, it was when he got banned with his Black Friday. Like, he got banned like the next day, right? So
he
it was Black Saturday.
Soft banned, right? He didn't actually ever.
Yeah, he never actually got banned. He's banned the way that I'm banned.
Yeah, like you just stop putting him in lineups.
But what's it gonna matter whenever the whole thing goes down in flames anyway?
It's not too long, probably.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we're all back, baby.
We're back.
We're so back.
We're so fucking back. Fucking failed streamers everywhere.
Failed streamers.
God. And you guys want to stream for the 500th episode. Don't you know that we're failed streamers here? What are you doing?
Yeah, we could do
that's because we wait till the last minute to, you know.
That's true, Brian. You're right. Honestly, nothing would make me happier than us getting this together for the 500th episode. Obviously, just like, you know, running a stream game while we podcast or whatever. And then hearing these idiots be like, oh, you're so up on stream security. How is this okay? You guys aren't even running on a delay.
Actually, we're all friends, so we don't care.
Like, actually, we're cheating each other. Yeah. What the fuck
actually,
is the difference?
Actually, cheating's allowed on
We're
ours.
Literally yeah. doing some a cursed. Podcast yeah. right now. Yeah.
We should let Jeno come play.
It's not worth it.
We should just let her come sweat red or black up in the background. She would definitely be
just
in
run
for
props.
That. Yeah, she would be the prop master.
That would actually
She'd
be great. Dan Zach says in the Twitter theme of posting about Black Friday's 10-year anniversary. 10 years? This is 13 years.
Yeah.
All right, you're a little off, but that's fine. We'll forgive you.
10 years but, every year.
Black Friday might have saved my life. At the time, I was 8 years into a crippling gambling addiction and depression, constantly stealing my parents' credit cards. And run-
Is this actually real?
I didn't know this about him. Again and again, while staying up till 6 a.m. on school. I mean, I guess he was like in high school, so it probably makes some sense.
Wow.
Despite an endless negative feedback loop, I was convinced I was going to turn it around and become a professional and secretly planned to skip college for online poker. Black Friday forced me to abandon that plan for the first time in nearly a decade of poker that wasn't the dominant use of my time. I feel strongly looking back that I wouldn't have made it had that cycle continued, and I'm so grateful for that break and everything that came with it. I think it's always important to remember when discussing the legality around these types of things that there are these types of dark cases do exist and to not dismiss them entirely. Happy anniversary. Oops, it's been 13 years. So it sounds like
I did not know that about it. I would never have guessed that.
I would have never guessed either, yeah. But I was actually thinking about this earlier today because I saw, I think poker, you know, that poker Twitter account on IG. It just like reposts certain tweets.
No.
Okay, it's like a meme account. I think it's called Poker Twitter, I'm pretty sure. And it posts like just certain tweets from the poker community that it finds to be ironic or funny or whatever. I can't remember who it was, but somebody tweeted something to the effect of, imagine if there were no regulations around the age to gamble. How many parents who are teaching their kids to be grandmasters would instead be teaching their kids to be poker superstars? Just imagine a World Series main event final table with a bunch of 12-year-olds. It would
That'd
be adorable.
Fucking hilarious, but I think it would still have the same like a seedy reputation. So I don't know that parents would be rushing to get their kids gambling.
Well, there are a lot more of Dan Zach stories out here than I realize. Not just the downfall, but like the age. Mm-hmm. Like Sean Winter started playing when he was 11. Yeah. I had no clue that that was a thing. Like I was 21 and I had no option to it prior. So like it didn't even strike me as a thing. But I think what's important to talk about with that tweet of like, oh, well, imagine if there wasn't regulation and we could just start doing this at age 8 or whatever. The difference between chess and poker is that there's massive amounts of risk involved in poker and there's a large downside to it. That can't be ignored. You know, a much less dark version of Dan Zach's story is one similar to my own where you're just constantly beating your head against this negative feedback loop cycle where it's very, very, very close between being somebody who is good enough to make it professional and on a bad streak versus being a degen who has no fucking clue what they're doing and how to climb themselves out of a hole.
Yeah.
And I don't think it can be ignored that the way the human brain works in a gamified environment is to chase the carrot on a string. You know, like you can't just create free reign to do this with absolutely no guardrail whatsoever. It took me a decade plus to really understand variance and to truly understand risk profile and how to be a little bit less risk on or more risk averse, you know?
Also, your prefrontal cortex is like not formed until you're 25.
Right, when you're 25. Now imagine if you're 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
you're just
I had
like
a
ready to
wait.
Risk it all.
Right. I had like a 4-year wait. And I'm at least coming from poverty, which curbs the risk profile a little bit. These kids are, what, they got a 16-year wait to fucking develop, and they're going to do so in a gambling environment? Good luck, guys.
Yeah. Goners.
Like, you're just going to be degens your whole life.
I used to degen on, like, Neopets. They had scratch cards on Neopets.
Oh, that was like you could purchase an app or whatever?
No, it wasn't real money.
Oh,
I was,
okay.
gambling with points.
So I think that this is something that kids probably fall victim to now with all the in-app purchases.
What about crypto? Roblox.
Think about crypto.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I'm in a lot of crypto groups though, where there's like a lot of like 15, 16 year olds that are just making like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Think if there was crypto when we were like in high school.
I might have
We either be super rich or
I may have made it.
Maybe, yeah, with the opposite.
I gotta tell you, I may have made it.
Yeah. Maybe.
I was really poor and really hungry and like just sharp enough with math stuff.
Spend 12 hours in the trenches a day. Yeah. Like you're gonna
I may have made it.
As long as you survive, you'll hit something.
I may have made it. I also may have be like fucking totally out of it. I could just be like a social recluse right
100%,
now.
100%, yeah.
Just, you know. If you make it, you still just might be like totally
gone.
These
guys that are making it at that age are definitely like social recluses.
Right.
I would have fucking loved crypto at that age.
You wouldn't have made it.
I was listen, either
can
I would have
confidently
got,
say
I
that.
Made
either,
it,
I
would have got
I don't think you say that even if put a very sound investment in Visa Metaverse.
he would have made it and then not shit happens. I got caught with a little honey pot. You laugh, but you know, shit happens in these streets. And then everybody that's been in the streets got caught in a little honeypot.
That's right. That's right. You ain't shooting your shot. You ain't fucking hitting.
If you're
what are you talking about?
Come you're not gambling.
You got to miss 100 times to hit once.
You would have 10 million plus and then zero like 15 times.
You guys don't know how much I was in a computer between the ages of like 11 and 15. Like I spent, if I wasn't playing sports, I was on my computer. I got kicked out of school for writing an email from a teacher's email to three students in the class. Like I got literally expelled from school.
He 100% would have been the Archie Karras of like young crypto. Do you know this story?
Yeah.
He was the biggest gambler Vegas has ever seen. He turned like no money into 50 million and then ran it all the way down to zero. Or 40 million.
Some of the stories
ran it all
I
the way
see,
right back to zero.
Playing
crypto,
craps, right?
Like,
yeah. I mean, he probably played everything.
Conrad look responsible.
For
like,
sure.
The people on there are just like punting hundreds of thousands of dollars like every day. I don't know where they get it from.
I mean, well, they start with $10, they run up to 100K, and then they just keep heaving it over. They never get risk off. That's why
they never risk off.
Right. It's the simple like
notion. Me and
Mama
Joe are like scraping. We're like chipping away at little pieces of, and we're just like building our piles. But we're like we'll never reach the moon. We're two paper hands.
Yeah. Well, it's just like I've spoken to Conrad about this a bunch. It's the idea of gambler's room. Where if you never de-risk, eventually you'll always hit zero. It's inevitable, right? That's just like the way compounding numbers work.
And I think they start chasing the feeling instead of like trying to reach a goal or something. They're instead like, oh well, this amount doesn't give me a feeling anymore because if I just made this much, so I gotta
If you're risking 100% of your bankroll to start with, and you only de-risked it to now that you've 10x'd, you're still risking like half.
Yeah,
you haven't de-risked enough. You know, like you're just leaving yourself.
You're gonna be back at zero really, really soon.
And the thing with Conrad is too, I know how this would have happened. His version of de-risking is diversifying. It's not actually taking risk off the table. It's just spreading it out. It's literally
multiple coins.
And then he can't even keep track of them anymore.
Yeah, he has no clue. He has no idea where all the money. It's literally playing roulette and covering the board. He's like, I'm gonna win, baby.
Well, not covering the board. You know, I'd pick the.
I'd leave the greens off, of course.
Exactly. Obviously,
that's and it's green.
Yeah, so you can get scooped like 5% of the time.
I only play 1, 3, 5, 7, 11. So those are my five numbers.
Okay.
All right. You know, I don't go crazy.
No, I hear you, man. Yeah. I hear you.
I got a very good sound roulette
very
strategy.
Very sound strategy.
Actually,
sounds good.
If you guys want me to teach it to you,
no.
I'm charging $199 for my 20-minute course.
Conrad 100% have a paid group if he had started in crypto.
For sure. Oh, he would have so many Telegram
and
groups.
He would probably be rich because he'd be just like pumping and dumping through his paid group.
I would never do that. That is so fucking dirty.
Well, you like, say that now. Is... Wait till you lose 40 million.
Yeah.
Wait till you get a
nice offer to shill fucking
steak.com.
Stinky Rascals coin.
Stinky Rascals.
They give you 100K.
Wait till steak.com gives you 10K to fucking gamble slots away. How fast you become a shill.
Don't you talk about Ryan DePaulo like that, you fucking ass.
He wouldn't come on the show. I can say whatever I want.
All right, fine. Fuck you, Ryan. No, I was joking.
Two more quick Black Friday stories. Josh Arie says, the week leading up to Black Friday, the games on Full Tilt were great. 200, 400 was going all week. Even with some 2K 4K Omaha 8 or better running regularly.
That was the top in hindsight.
That was peak, mm-hmm. for sure. I recently won a Poker After Dark seat worth $30,000 and was planning to fly to London on Sunday for the filming. I had 180K plus the 30K Poker After Dark seat in my account when I woke up Friday. Woke up to lots of frantic texts and people asking all around if I had heard anything. Being that I was a Full Tilt Red Pro, I guess everybody thought I had info they weren't privy to. After some phone calls, I was assured that Poker After Dark was a go and I should fly to London as planned. Flew to London, car picked me up to take me to the hotel that was 2.5 hours away. Checked into the hotel and was told a car would be there in 15 minutes. Don't get in the car. We've canceled all remaining tables. In complete shock and with nobody answering my calls, I decided to rent a set of golf clubs, play 9 holes, and see what happened after that. I played 9 holes on a shitty course, made some more unanswered calls, and then took a cab back to the airport, flew home. So in the end, I lost about 48 hours of my life and was also never returned my money from Full Tilt. The DOJ said I need proof that I won it and not that it was income from the site. I'm mostly mad about the travel and the stupidity of management to still run the event. The end.
Wow.
Chance Cornith quote tweets. My Black Friday story. I was playing a bunch of 200, 400 PLO because Josh was in the games. Had a massive percentage of my net worth stuck online. Got it all back years later. No questions asked.
That's hilarious.
That is fucking hilarious. That's amazing.
Well done, Chase.
Did people actually get like all their money back?
Almost everybody did.
Oh, that's good.
Except the only people who didn't were the Full Tilt pros.
Wow.
Because they weren't allowed to get their salary.
Huh.
So like Josh said, basically you had to prove that were making money.
That is the pro of not being a pro.
It ruined some people. Like Eric Lindgren was getting like $1 million a month back then.
What?
Just like a massive.
Like that might happen with like, God forbid, but I feel like it might happen with steak.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Because people are getting paid that much plus. Like they're getting paid like, some of those streamers are getting paid like $5 million a month and stuff.
When shit goes insolvent, what's left? Just somebody holding the bag, you know? But yeah, like, and you know, when you're getting $1 million a month guaranteed like that, you live like it.
Yeah.
I was actually just talking about this with a couple people in game where we were talking about our spending habits when Bitcoin goes on a bull run. And
lifestyle creep, they call it.
Yeah. And a lot of us were like almost bragging that like, oh yeah, after the last time, I learned my lesson and I haven't really changed my lifestyle at all in spite of the massive pump.
Yeah.
Like, and to be fair, I don't know that I changed mine at all last time either. Because I always see it as an insurance policy.
Yours is more when you're upswinging in poker, you'll just order a bunch of stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, you're not like you're not somebody that spends money on doing something. Like you have like a set kind of routine what you do in your life that you just don't spend money outside.
Brooke, he has this theoretical backyard, right? Yeah. And when he's crushing it in poker, it's closer to it actually happening happening. And then when he's on a downswing, he just knows it's not. Yeah,
it's true. I've been to the point of like giving the deposit and then. Like a
could have
gotten hits.
The backyard by now with all the
no questions.
So many times. Nine
just
times
no
over.
Question. I could still get it today. It's just course, at some point, you know, you're on a $500 million downswing.
Right.
And you're like, do I really want to spend $150,000?
Exactly. Exactly. Feels irresponsible.
Well, I can give you a really good discount if you let me.
Well, I was asking LaManna if he was willing to work.
We do want to team up? We
yeah. Like I mean, Bitcoin I'm laying down each. The concrete next week.
One Bitcoin each? What kind of fucking discount is that?
It's like a 10K discount.
I'm getting a 10K discount for 99% worth work. Worse work.
Bitcoin might be worth 50K.
We'll have to sure. get him to agree when it's slow.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That's fine. I will just buy another one to replace whatever I pay you with. That actually seems reasonable. But yeah, I think for me, I always viewed it as an insurance policy because it's like X percent of my net worth, and I have no intentions of liquidating it. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, it goes way up. We're more insured.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can do more lifestyle things. Like yeah. I don't have to play 2,000 hours this year because, hey, I got this big insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes down and it's like, motherfucker, where's the next game? Driving the fucking middle of nowhere, Louisiana. Like, you guys got 50, 100 out here anywhere?
So trying to grind up Bitcoins. I'm like, all right, it's low, so I can make 10 now. And
right,
then...
right. How are them JPEGs doing? Do we need to get back in those streets?
Mama Joe's got you back in there. Did you see the Solve for Y JPEG?
I fell for it. I was like, it. You know why I fell for it? Because it was such a shit job.
It wasn't even a transparent background.
Yeah, it was such a bad Photoshop job that I was like, this actually might be real.
So yeah. Joanne sent us a what do you call it? NFT. Yeah. Picture NFT, and it had the software Y pads on. It was a little guy with software Y pads, and Berkey goes, "Is that real?" And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, I thought we hit big time.
No, I mean the JPEGs are back, but they're back on Bitcoin.
Mm, okay.
People are buying the ordinals like hotcakes.
Yes, let's get in there.
Those stupid Bitcoin puppets that I will cry the rest of my life because I sent in our chat, hey, does anyone want to chop a Bitcoin puppet? Like, for, they're like 3K, and just I just got crickets, and now they're a half a Bitcoin.
Jesus Christ. Wow. You gotta lobby a little harder.
I don't lobby hard for my bags. I will say that. I just like, if you guys
quick
want.
10X.
I mean, she it's did. Not going to take much arm twisting for me to give you $1,500 for some gamble.
I know.
This is what I was trying to tell Mama Jo. She like sends me a screenshot the other day of this coin that's pumping. And I go, oh, baby, are we rich? And she's like, no, where that S is where I sold.
She has so many of those. We're making a scrapbook. She sends them all the time.
It is like 6X, and she got out at like 2.5X.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that sucks. But like, you know, how much did we make? She's like, I was only in for 600. I'm like, who fucking cares?
I love Mama Joe.
We didn't miss out on anything. It's like $2,500. I want more zeros.
She wants the moon.
She is the best, man.
Be in for 6,000.
I know. She'll send me ones, and it's like, buy, sell, and then it goes straight up.
I'm like, why are you paper handings for peanuts? For $600, you can hold it till I die. I don't care.
Right.
Fucking get in there.
Either a million or just hold.
Yeah, like, get us to seven figures. That's all I want is a free seven figures.
Probably Bitcoin puppets. Probably the way.
This is the thing. I just want money that I have no business having. Right. That I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it. I have no fucking business.
There's a lot of it out there.
I mean, honestly, every dollar I've ever made in crypto feels that way.
I was going to say, didn't you sell XRP at the top?
Sold XRP at like $3. Yeah. Bought it for 40 cents. Didn't deserve a fucking penny
it's
of it.
It's about 60 cents right now.
Yeah, 49. I didn't deserve anything.
Oh, yeah,
re-enter. Re-enter. Let's go. Reinvest. I'm still holding on to Litecoin. I think it has a future.
Oh, no. That usually pumps at the very end. Yeah, that's how people know it's over with Litecoin pumps.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe I'll get it. I have 100 Litecoin. I'm just chilling with
them.
All right. That's
good. I don't know. Maybe in the future, 2049.
How much is it worth right now?
Litecoin to the moon. Probably 80 bucks.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I have no idea. It peaked at like 200. I couldn't sell.
I mean, everything's down the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see.
Let's see. Litecoin is. You know what? It has to be so over before it can be. Yeah.
77.
That's true. Okay. I was right. I said 80 bucks. I'm not that far off. Just guessing.
Yeah, 77 bucks.
All right. We forgot, but big shout out to Landon. He's in the final four of the 10K heads up.
Okay, Landon.
Florida. His match should be coming up shortly. So fingers crossed that, oh man, what's this going to do for the bet? He just goes and fucking plays the toughest goddamn event Florida's ever seen.
Is any of this
streamed? I just want to know what Kessler will say.
I mean, Becker's there and he didn't play it, you know? I'm just saying.
I mean, only 24 people played this event, so it really doesn't matter. 26. Only 26 people played this event.
26 are the best in the world.
So, no, it does really doesn't matter.
But Atlanta can
only
beat the best in the world. He can't beat bad players.
Only 80 people played that high roller that Becker got second in, and Kessler claimed that it was 80 of the best players in the world. And I look at the list. It was a fucking 3K. I look at the list, and it's just like a dozen fucking shit regs that are just like, you know, this is a shot for them. It's like, what are we talking about?
Like, you can just slap high roller onto anything as long as it's like 10X, whatever the like
the
average buying in. Right. Like the South Point could run like a high roller.
Right, like,
it's a $700 high roller.
Like a normal high roller has like billionaire whales in it because like that's the price point where they feel like gambling. And you look at this high roller, it's a 3K and it has like me.
Yeah.
Like, hi.
Where?
I'm hi, just guys. Balling out here. I'm in for 10. Who cares? Oh, Christ. All right, I'm in the muck. Let's go.
All right, we got another user submission today. It comes from True Power.
True Power.
Yeah, so they're playing 1-3, and they got the Ace 5 of Hearts, the old land. Oh, another Ace 5 suited hand, Burke. So folds them on the button. We're about 100 big blinds effective. They make it 10. Big blind calls. Now we get a good flop. It's the ace of spades, 10 of hearts, 6 of hearts. So top pair flush draw. And now the big blind just decides to just lead her three quarters pot right into us because that's, you know, a thing. And we call. Turn. Pairs board 10. Not the best card for us. They lead again for pot. And we go ahead and call. And the river is the three of hearts giving us the nut flush.
Good.
And they just pile in. Oh. And we call. And we are shown the 10-6 of clubs for full house. So, yeah, this hand, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, calling.
I mean, maybe
that's crazy. Yeah. So, like, I think where we're in the muck here is on the flop, what to do when, you know, unexpected things happen. It's like, this is what happens in these lower stake games, right? Where, like, you almost never see, like, leads here, I don't think, very often.
Right.
Especially, you know, on that type of board. And then they come out for three quarters pot right at you.
When you do see it, you can reasonably expect that it's not going to be balanced.
Right.
Not like.
And you know, it's usually a hand like they had, right? Bottom two. Like, oh, bottom two, I got to just, you know, protect my hand right away and build a pot. And then, you know, the turn comes. And you know, he said that he was wondering if he could ever fold the river.
Absolutely not.
Which is like, this is a just pay spot if it's ever a just pay spot, right? But, you know, it's like these players, they just always have it. And they probably had two pair of some sort on the flop. So, you know.
Yeah, or he could just have like queen of hearts.
Right, exactly. Exactly, right. So it's just he has enough hands where you're just still beating them. I think he said something along the lines of he didn't have the top of his value, which I think he has the top of his value.
Definitely has the top of his value.
The top of the top.
Top of the top, yeah.
Man, I've been seeing so much weird fucking desire to lead, and the thing is that what I'm noticing, nobody does it with bluffs because they're so non-intuitive, right? Like leading out of float, like breaking float to lead, is akin to check raising. It's just doing it for less dollars, mm-hmm. and doing it with the expectation that sometimes the original raiser will raise you. And it's so easy to carve out what hands are supposed to check raise for value, just as it's very easy to carve out what hands are strong enough to lead. But what's unclear is where that line stops. Right. So what is the weakest hand that's good enough to check raise? What's the weakest hand that's good enough to lead? And that's like where it's abundantly clear that people stink.
Yes.
They don't know how to check raise, so mm-hmm. they lead instead. And the leads are just as imbalanced as the check raising range is. That's why they're choosing not to check raise.
Semi bluffs or value.
Yeah. They don't check raise because.
Like a lot of equity.
Right. They don't check raise because they turn their hand face up. So what do they do instead? They lead because that looks like it could be more full of shit.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, well, what are we doing here? Obviously, when we look at the whiz, we're going to see no leads in this spot. You don't have to go through it yet, Guapo. But like we're gonna see no leads in the spot, so everything we run after that is gonna just be a dirty sim where we see what the fuck happens whenever this guy breaks theory.
If Landon was here, he's like, and the sim is broken because you know you're not supposed to do that, you're not allowed to do that, so the sim is broken. So I don't know what's going on, so I'm just gonna do some stuff here. And
I mean, this guy's brain's broken, but the thing is that obviously there is some flawed logic that's taking place whenever they do choose to lead. So the question does become very clear of like, how should we respond?
I do think the sizing is something to look at with the leading.
For sure.
I feel like the smaller ones, in my experience, I always just raise them.
Well, this isn't small. This is half pot.
That's what I'm saying.
It's three quarters.
It's big. But like, I feel like the smaller ones tend to be
15 and 20.
Your like gutters and stuff like that. Whereas like the bigger ones will be more like two pair or set or pair.
I totally agree with you. I see you see it all the time, right? When the small bet is just always, I don't like.
It's always some stupid gut
transparent.
Shot. Yeah, and you
they
just
really
raise
are.
Them and then they call and then they give up. It's like a very common thing.
Right, like I'm not shocked
at
all.
But the bigger one you don't see as much.
I'm not shocked at all to see the bottom two here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a byproduct of just not knowing how to check raise. So the question then becomes like, how should you respond to this? And I do agree with you whenever you're talking about small leads. doing a lot of raising is pretty good. Mm-hmm. When you're facing these big leads, you just need to take advantage of the button. You're in position. The biggest edge that you have available to you.
I'm like, I just want to run it.
Yeah, this hand's good enough, obviously. Yeah.
So we have top pair and a flush draw.
I think when you flop a hand that has this much equity, it's hard to misplay it. I mean, obviously, you can.
I would say that trying to get it in is potentially a misplay.
Like, all in.
At 100 big blinds deep?
Because
it's a misplay if the person doesn't have a bluff, right?
Or even like draws, right? Like, the only reason
you're
to raise here.
Against bottom two.
What happens? Like, we
sure,
don't
but you're doing
fold
pretty
out.
Good calling the whole way through too, right? Because like, if you raise this, then what do you call that allows you to have like the ability to improve? Because like, you're obviously raising all two pair plus, mm-hmm. so like all ace six, all ace ten, you absolutely have to raise your sets. You should be raising as well. So like, how do you improve to stronger hands if you're raising hands like ace five suited? I guess you just call with hands like ace king, but then you're susceptible to hearts peeling off and mm-hmm. all the action dying and slowing down. I will say that I do think that there's maybe an argument for raising, just in the sense that you don't get slowed down when a heart peels off. Like, yeah. The deuce of hearts peels, 10-6 is like they're assholes,
probably. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's shitty to not stack
you
them.
Just run it and stack them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, particularly with,
but
like,
that's just like because I'm seeing that it's not super deep, so I'm right. Like, well, we have less than 100 big blinds to start. Like,
particularly with like ace five, ace four, ace three, ace two, maybe I'd be more inclined. But like, whatever. I mean, Brian's point is pretty valid. Like, you're so high up in your equity that it's difficult to misplay. It's just really important to bear in mind that like they are going to skew towards having nutted hands when they lead.
Yeah.
So we should bear that in mind whenever we're bluff catching. And we want to have like heavy blocking properties over their best hands. Number one, number two, we want to have the ability to redraw. So like, if you have a hand like, I don't know, Jack 10 here, just fold.
Yeah.
Just fucking fold. Like, yeah. Maybe I would peel Jack 10 of clubs. Maybe. And I even think that that's like a little bit greedy because you're facing such a big bet.
Yeah, they might just have ace 10. You're just like,
right. You know. Right. I mean, truthfully, that's probably ace 6 is probably like where they should be building the majority of their lead range out of. So yeah, we can take a look in theory and we can see that it does play no leads. and here's the other thing that I think is really important, that a lot of people probably don't understand is that one of the biggest reasons that it plays no leads outside of being at a disadvantage is that you're facing a really large bet strategy by imposition. So, the truth is in theory, this is actually a lot more symmetrical than I think people realize when it comes to the overall equity, I guess it's not that symmetrical. Imposition has a pretty big advantage, 55 to 45. And the EV is very substantial. But we do play a lot of check back here as imposition. And you can see that it just plays 3E, which is 103% pot. So it only is going to play big bet or check, which means that it's going to start to polarize very early. And a lot of these linear hands, you can see like the vast majority of the 10X doing no betting.
Is that because our nut advantage is so high in
correct.
This situation.
Yeah. You would see it being even more extreme if it was like ace, king, six. Mm-hmm, so if we just changed the 10 to a king. It's probably going to be a very similar strategy. It's just now instead of 40% bets, we might have like something like 50% bets. So we'll slightly increase because we will be betting a lot of the king X.
Yeah.
Where here we're betting like literally none of the 10X. Yeah. We're betting like 10-9 suited and 10-9 off. That's
kind of interesting that like this hand just.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me though. Although I would have thought ace four would follow suit. I would have just thought like all the wheel hearts would do a heavy amount of checking with the exception of, I was gonna say ace six, but obviously like that hand doesn't exist. Ace six hearts isn't real. but yeah, I would have thought all the backdoor straights. And I guess that makes some sense. Like five and seven, much more relevant to backdoor straights than threes and fours, right? Because the ace three, ace four, it's really only drawing to a backdoor low end. Whereas like the ace five, the ace seven, you could backdoor 4-3. No.
Wait, what
am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. There's no backdoors.
There's no backdoor for the five. There's backdoor for the seven. You can backdoor 8-9.
Yeah.
Right. So that makes sense. Yeah, I guess the five becomes a little bit more interesting to me then For whatever reason, I was thinking of that backdoor straight draw.
Maybe something to do with, fives?
you know, fives.
You know.
As far as like in the check raising range? I mean, that would be the majority of why these hands choose to check is we'll see like what's raising. So like when you see what's raising, it's like jack five of hearts, which we would block. But that doesn't really matter. 8-5 of hearts, which we block. So okay. Like, yeah, he's pulling some of the 5x of hearts.
Yeah, that makes
sense. From his raising range, which you obviously want to be check raised by those hands that you dominate. And since you can't dominate them, maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, in theory, like, yeah, we're going to protect our range with something. We have to have some nut flush draws that we check back. You can see aces does a heavy amount of checking back. Specifically,
yeah, just like all your pairs except for set.
Right. Yeah, tens just unlocks the board. So specifically when we have the ace of hearts, we're a little bit more prone to betting. Just because the EV is going to be slightly higher with the backdoor nut flush draw. But in any event, yeah, we play a very polar strategy. When we lock this, I imagine we'll respond very polar as well. So you can see that I had to really ramp it up to start to get some ace-x in the betting range. So you can see it's only really choosing ace-9 as the single ace. Ace-10 obviously is in there. Ace-10 off wants to do a fair amount of check raising, so it needs to protect itself, as does ace-queen, ace-jack. These are going to be good bluff catchers and check raises, especially when facing a polar strategy. So you can see that like it doesn't really even want to include its strongest hands because it's so heavily incentivized to include them in traps and check raises facing that polar strat. Right. So when it does choose lead, especially for this large size, I imagine, oh, wow, it just goes off. We just do not call.
No.
You just
Hell yeah. Big dog is back, baby. Right.
Oh, my God.
Melissa knew. I'm just fucking raising you. Yeah, fuck this guy.
That's the reddest chart I've ever seen.
That is some red ass. Yeah.
That's red. So. Right. It's not folding Jack 10 suited.
It's
fuck you raising it.
Yeah, we're saying fuck your little lead.
Does that say 10-9 all in?
Okay.
Hold on. Does that say 10-9? 10-9
suited is yeeting it. Not even the back door, the other one.
Right. And just gets wrecked by
the other
10-6 that should never be leading.
I guess because they'll lead back doors, so you want.
Well, okay, God, so this is important to look at the lead range, right? So there isn't very much ace-x, we can tell. I guess let's break this down from a strategy standpoint. So the majority of the hands that are leading here are third pair. So starting with a 6. The next is going to be draws, and then 2 pair, low pair, king high. So his lead range is obviously dick.
Yes.
That's the problem.
That's why
right. It's like,
in theory, right?
Don't try this in practice because you'll get wrecked. Right.
the machine is getting wrecked in the 1-3.
Right. So now we need to lock again, and we just need to paint, and we need to paint it in a way where it starts to make sense that these are the types of hands.
Really in the weeds here.
Of course, but you know that's what this guy is doing. He's fucking in the weeds.
I like the one that's all red.
of course you do. I mean, I'm with you for you what know? It's worth. But
let's run it, baby. What are you leading? Some garbage napkins?
Good, he just doesn't have any good fucking hands. That's the problem. Where's 10-6?
Yeah, they have hands that want to like. Where's 10-6? They want to off themselves when you raise them.
I mean, I guess 6.
They have like some weird middly equity. Like,
wait, why does
that is true too? Like, he might look at bottom two and be like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, he just has like bottom pair, like backdoor flush. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, he doesn't ever have tens. I mean, to be fair, some of these hands are probably
gonna
just
bet to see where I'm at.
I would say, what is it? Ace 10-6. Give him some like 7-8. That in there?
Let's do this.
Being so generous.
Let's do this.
Guapo, I promise you, this happens with. With poopy gut shots.
All right, let's say
not
this.
Not for this size, but.
Let's say that he leads 75% of his sets, all 2 pair. Let's say 25% of top pair. No second pairs. No third pairs. And then let's say half of his flush draws. Let's say half of his flush draws and all of his combo draws.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's that note looks right.
Look at Picasso.
Yeah, we just out here painting, baby.
Now you're not gonna be able to.
Now we're all in.
I bet we don't eat it here.
You know, you're not gonna be able to just raise everything
now.
I bet we don't eat it on him. No, now.
You're just gonna call a lot.
Okay, so he's leading so many. Okay, yeah. Now we're calling a lot more.
Is that a small size?
There's a lot more green.
No, 71%.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now this is a lot more. Okay, so okay, now
look,
it's
look
what
at
I
the
thought.
Ace five. Hit, raise it up.
Yeah, you just fold a lot, and then you.
What's call the other ace fives that do most of the raising?
It's okay, we're in there still. We rolled low.
Yeah, we rolled low. Okay, fine. So this goes back to what I was indicating before. So now Jack 10, no backdoor, just plays as Razor Fold.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the hand to key in on, right? Because this is a good indication as to how you should be playing the majority of your range, since this kind of represents middle equity.
Right.
Right. This is a hand that doesn't easily improve, but obviously is winning at showdown should it check to you at a really high frequency, right? Yeah. Another good hand to key in on would be like jacks and queens, kings. These are all just playing pure call.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably fold the ones that don't have hearts, to be quite frank. I just think like we're getting fucked here so bad.
Yeah, I guess.
I just don't think we're seeing the nothing lead very often, you know? We gave him all of his
not
combo
for this
draws.
Size, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like bro's coming out
bigger
hard.
Bigger lead sizes.
So like the way to lean on this is pair plus backdoor flush draw, clear continue, right? Mm-hmm. Top pair also clear continue. Outside of that, start folding a fucking ton. Your 6x all gets absolutely obliterated.
Fold face up too.
Yeah.
Let him know.
Really let him know it.
Yeah.
So like this, the 6x tends to lean on if it has multiple backdoor properties. So, like king six of clubs, backdoor flush draw, backdoor straight draw, it's in. The other king six is like, this is where you're bluffing from. Now, look, we are bluffing a fair amount. And the reason for that is because like we need to get maximum value for a hand like ace king, a hand like ace queen, et cetera, et cetera. But I would estimate these hands probably aren't doing as well in practice as they appear to be in theory. Even whenever we lock the range to being relatively tight. So when we continue through a call, which does happen some of the time, see a turn of 10 of spades. And this is going to be a weird card because a lot of our calls will include a 10. But we assume that, wow, that's sick. Now he just 2Es.
Yeah.
His strat just becomes 2E or,
right.
or end.
Yeah. Well, he recognized that was a bad card for him. You know, he's just like, this is a bad,
I mean,
bad card for me.
Is anyone doing?
No. I mean, not at these stakes. Definitely not.
They're going to like do some stupid little like B10.
Well, no, he's going to do what he did.
He did. He did do that.
Yeah.
He had a full house.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess he actually did nail it.
He bet
19 big blinds.
Yeah, he literally bet 2E.
2E is 20, almost 21 big blinds.
Right.
So, yeah, somehow he pulls this one off. You can see 10-6 right up there.
It's funny because really like, he hard. Really did just got him for the max, but obviously, you know, two big hands.
I would assume ace-5 folds cooler. River for what it's worth. So, yeah, it's a pure call on the turn. I would bet this folds river. Almost.
You're
guaranteed.
Saying the nut flush folds
nut
river?
Flush?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize a heart came.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my bad.
What? Yeah. I was like, wait.
Say what?
Wait a second.
He's holding nut flushes?
No.
Like, change that graphic to just fold.
Look, you're calling with almost, you're calling with a heavy dose of all your ace-x anyway.
Yeah.
So like all of your nut flush draws are calling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When you first said like that he was debating folding the river, I didn't realize that he had the nut flush. I thought it was just like top pair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no question.
And Melissa was still like, I'm not folding.
I know. I was like, why are we folding top pair?
No question on the pure hearts.
No. Good night me to your games, by the way.
So he's actually supposed to, when the heart comes, he's actually supposed to mix between going all in and checking. Let's see what lights up. So a lot of his full B40. So you can see like a lot of his full house, like 10-6, actually wants to induce here. Mm. Reason being is all of the one pair hands that Imposition has now really can't call.
Yeah.
And you even start to put 10x into a tough spot. So when we jam here, let's look and see where the indifference line comes. So almost all one pairs, you can see all the ace x's. These are largely indifferent and folding. Ace 10 obviously very happy, it's the nuts. Aces also the nuts. But now when you look at the trip tens, you can see king 10 indifferent, queen 10 pure fold, jack 10 pure fold, 10-9 pure fold. Mm-hmm. So like you don't want to be jamming.
That makes sense.
To be fair, like when you have boats, they probably don't have these trips very often.
also like the flush came in.
That's specifically why, right? So if you B40, flushes are probably supposed to jam.
Yeah.
So when you look at the all in, it's going to be all the nut flushes as we would expect. Somehow A6 jams. Not sure why. I guess you get other ace-x to fold.
Well, you're like blocking.
You're blocking boats, and yeah. I guess like you get.
Repaired, yeah.
Yeah, you get like maybe the ace-queen block bet to fold. If I had to get. Let's just take a quick look and see what becomes indifferent for him. No, there's no ace. Oh, it's you get trips like to fold. You get trips to fold, that's why.
Wow.
So you get all the 10x to fold that took this line.
Like rep.
That's pretty sick. I mean, don't do that in. In real life.
It's never happening. It's
okay. Yeah, those hands are just bet calling. Those hands are bet calling for sure. But you can see even the king high flush jams river, queen high flush jams river. So like you don't lose value in theory when you have these full houses because imposition is always supposed to jam flushes. Now when you do jam, it's going to call these flushes anyway. That's not the point. So you can see all of the hearts they call anyway. All the full houses call. Yeah, I mean, like, even the 8 high flush, that's our worst flush. It's just calling.
I think Melissa's on to something. Get out there. Jam your A6. Yeah. And then tell us all about it, our Discord for
in
the
mock. I give you permission. That's right. Sometimes you have to do stuff like that.
That is right.
And, you know, see what happens.
Well, make sure you tell us about it in our Discord, though.
Yeah. I think the B40 is, like, particularly good with these full houses, though, because you do extract full value from the 10x, but you also start to get called by a lot of the ace x, like ace king, ace queen, ace jack. These are all mixing. Certain suits are pure calling. These hands just fold to a jam. That's really important. Ace 9 pure call. Ace 6 sometimes jams, sometimes calls. All of these are good events for full houses in theory, right? Where these hands start to all mix folds at some frequency whenever you just open jam. So the lead guy actually. Flop bad, everything else pretty good.
But no. Because,
well, it's a byproduct of the hand. Yeah. I understand. Like, I get that. Right.
No, I'm not giving him flowers here. get out of there on the flop.
Yeah.
And as far as our user true power goes, you played the hand fine, man. Just very unlucky. I think you can fold to a non-heart river. That's obviously a no-brainer. But as played, just a cooler man. Your boy flopped 2-pair. We could have ran it. Wouldn't have mattered. You would have been dead on the turn either way. So you could have raised flop. Would not have done anything. You cannot fold river. You made your flush.
Sometimes the poker gods just choose the other guy.
Got to fold. The problem becomes, like, what hands does he jam that we beat?
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, that's the scary part. Like, when you
think
look...
he ever has trips?
Well, when you look at the jam range,
that's what he said. He shouldn't. He said he never plays a 10 this way.
I was right. Like, oh, maybe like king queen of hearts, but like everyone's too pussy to do that.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to bluff like king queen off. He's supposed to bluff king jack off. He's supposed to jam ace 9. He's supposed to jam like king 5 of hearts.
I don't really care. Like, I'm not folding the nut flush.
No, of course not.
You know, whatever.
Of course.
Take
not.
It.
Yeah, take your medicine.
Take your medicine.
Like, yeah, he's supposed to have 8-7 for a flop gut shot.
Yeah,
that he takes this line
like
with.
Are too scared to do anything.
9-8, you know, these hands should be in there. 9-8 high flush. His combo draws it bet twice and got there. The problem is like it's a big parlay of events where they have to choose to lead those hands, then somehow 2E them on the turn, and then make their flush and not be afraid of a bigger flush and just yeet it in on a paired board.
Yeah. Right, it's like you're probably dead.
If you folded on the turn,
but
I would.
Like you can pry it out of my cold dead hands.
Here's the thing: if you had folded on the turn, I would say that's not theoretically correct, but I wouldn't fault you.
Yeah.
If you fold on the river, I think that you're just making errors.
Yeah.
Right, because like they just can have king queen of hearts, not often, but like they just can enough, right? Like.
Not going to be often.
They just have some fuck shit sometimes. Yeah. They have A6 sometimes.
Sometimes
like,
people,
I don't know.
Sometimes people do fuck shit.
Right. And you have the nuts. Sort of. Well, you have the 25th nuts.
Which is good enough to be justified as
close
nuts.
Enough.
Close enough.
Where's the ace on the river? If you too would like to like, subscribe, and click the bell, don't forget, that's our cue. We'd love a little bit of support for the channel. If you would like to submit your own in the muck, be sure to head to our Discord channel at OnlyFriendsPod. You can find the link. It's our pinned tweet. Also, you can hit hashtag Discord in the chat. And that will take you to our little community where we have an entire forum set up for In the Muck. We'd love to hear from you guys. It's a pleasure to analyze these hands. We appreciate you all. Boo Dog, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing at least you at Champions April 25th. Yes. We might be there with you.
We'll take some footage. If
Podcast on the road. Podcast on the road.
Guapo's having a heart attack. Guapo's having a heart attack.
I'll be all right. He'll be all right. Guapo's not going to go. He's just hot because you turned the AC off.
The part that made me happy was maybe we don't have to take any equipment at all.
Yeah. So. Unless you come to Milwaukee with me afterwards.
Oh, my God.
I got some mid-stakes.
Milwaukee.
I got some mid-stakes for you all.
Milwaukee.
Who's here for the mid-stakes sedan? All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow with Matt Hunt for Strat Chat. We'll see you guys all noon Pacific. See you then.
Peace.
Peace.